Hey, this is John, digital manager of the Wheeler Center, and I'm just dropping into your podcast to share a quick piece of news and then a preview of an upcoming episode. So first, the news. A couple of days ago, we celebrated our fifth birthday by launching not only a brand new calendar of events, but along with it, a brand new website. At thenewwheelercenter.com, you'll find thousands of articles, videos, podcast episodes, and other things related to books, writing, and ideas. It's still a work in progress, but we would love it if you would let us know what you think. On to the preview. Last night at Melbourne Town Hall, we held On 5, a gala night of storytelling, featuring 11 of Australia's best storytellers sharing tales on the theme of five. But it also happened to be Valentine's Day, and in the story you're about to hear, Anita Heiss shares five reasons why she doesn't like February 14, but why she does believe in love. And if there are young kids around whose ears you're trying to keep clean, you might want to put this one on headphones.
Today is Valentine's Day, the day for lovers and romance and all things red. But here's a short list of five reasons why I don't like February 14, but why I do believe in love. Number five, the acronym for Valentine's Day is VD, and honestly, who in their right mind wants to celebrate that? Number four, people always assume I have a Valentine, or many, and indeed that I should have a husband. But when I say I don't, they respond with, "But I don't understand why you don't have a husband or a Valentine." Well, nor the fuck do I. Maybe it's because I swear in public. I don't know. Moving right along, my number three reason for not liking February 14 is that Valentine's Day inevitably means questionable gifts. Exhibit A. My first Valentine gift at the age of 16 was this stuffed toy. Exhibit B, my last Valentine's gift at the age of 46 was this red G-string. As it turns out, I am my own best Valentine because I buy the best jewellery, the best bubbly, and underwear that actually fits. I'll be selling those on eBay to raise money for the ILF. Reason number two. Since my teens, my mother has given me something every Valentine's Day. But is there anybody here this evening, anybody who wants their mother as their Valentine? I didn't think so. But seriously, I am grateful, of course, every year for the box of chocolates and the extra kilo that I put on. Finally, the number one reason that I don't like February 14 is that aside from my mother, I haven't had, by any definition, a decent Valentine for over two decades. That's no roses, no chocolates, no romantic dinners or sex. I've had sex in the last two decades. I've also had chocolate and dinner and roses, but not with the same person and never on February 14. And yes, I'm a little bit bitter about that. And it is the reason I flew to Melbourne this evening, so that I didn't have Valentine's Day by myself, but I have 1,200 Valentines or 1,600. But my VD bitterness aside, I do believe in romantic and long-lasting love because I grew up in a home where my parents demonstrated such love every day of their lives. At the end of 1957, when Mum was 20 years old, she met my father at a party in Pagewood, which was only a few kilometres where they would both eventually settle with our family. One of my mother's friends, Lee, who was a woman from Graz in Austria, introduced my parents. Mum says that my dad could barely speak English at the time, and all he got from his attempts to speak German was her laughter. Dad fell in love immediately. Mum was beautiful, kind, elegant, and she could dance. But she was a challenge for any man, not because she was black, but because she was a very strict Catholic. And Catholic girls were good girls. But my father was charming and persistent, and my mother could not ignore his efforts. He pretty much stalked her. In those days, they called it courting. Mum tells me stories of Dad sitting on the doorstep in the early hours of the morning of her home in Lawson Street, Redfern, in the late 1950s, for God's sake, Elsie, go and talk to that wog. He's been driving up and down the street since 5 o'clock this morning. My grandparents would say, racism went both ways back then. When my parents started dating, my dad wanted to fatten my poor skinny mother up. Even though she worked at Sweetacre's chocolate factory, my mum was too thin. My dad fed her pasta to bulk her up, a food she'd never eaten before. She actually believed him when he told her that spaghetti grew on trees. He continued to pursue my mother with a stalker-like passion. "Is that Joe behind us?" Mum's girlfriends would ask as they pulled away in a taxi after a night of dancing. Dad would be in eager pursuit on his motorbike or in his car. That's a bit weird, really, isn't it? Really. It's sad but true that when my mum was dating my father, she went dancing without him while he waited for her outside. He didn't want to have to talk to the other patrons because he was embarrassed about his language skills, although he was forced to improve his English very quickly. The other reason he didn't go into places like the Foundation was because some of the Koori men in Mum's circle didn't really make him feel welcome. Mum admits, black fellas hated the fact that a black woman was going out with a new Australian. It just wasn't the done thing. My mother dating my father was an apparent slight on black men, but her female friends, like Dad, they just never understood what he was saying. It makes me sad to think of my father being ridiculed and laughed at for loving my mother. And he loved her so much that after she'd finished dancing for the night, he would sometimes drive her home and ensure she was safe. He was no doubt making sure she wasn't going home with anybody else either. My parents finally married in St. Vincent's Church, Redfern, the same day as my father's birthday on the 5th November 1960. We often joke that Mum was Dad's birthday present that day and every year after. There were no invitations to the wedding, people just turned up. And there were more babies and children than adults. I have 6 black and white photos in my lounge room of my parents' wedding day. It is one of the things I would grab in a fire. The images symbolise for me the absolute love. The images. Am I on? Am I on? This. Let me just get my knickers. Now I'm all hot and bothered. The images symbolise for me the absolute truth of unconditional love and that real love knows no boundaries, least of all race. My mother ignored the ridicule of local blacks and his own white friends to be with the woman he loved, while my mother risked the wrath of her family. But once they were married, my father was genuinely welcomed into the extended Williams family and community, and his life was cemented in Sydney forever. My father was diagnosed with a second bout of cancer in November 2004. One day, 6 months after the initial diagnosis, I stood at the garage door where he spent most of his time at home, and I asked him what he was doing. "I'm fixing the screens for Mum," he said, holding some mesh. He was mending fly screens and windows that didn't need mending. The next 6 months played out the same way as he fixed up the house that he'd mostly built himself and would no longer be there to maintain. "Who will look after Mum?" he said sadly, more than once. Even in his final hours before he slipped into a coma from which he would never wake, he was worried about Mum driving, maintenance on the house, or how Mum would manage financially. I will, Dad. I will look after Mum," I said to appease him. My father died on November 6, 2005. Even though he was in a coma, we celebrated his birthday and their 45th wedding anniversary the day before with champagne and birthday cake. A few years later, I asked my mother if she'd ever get a boyfriend. She responded, "Don't be silly, I'm married to your father." Mum maintains a shrine to Dad with fresh flowers in our home. Today is Valentine's Day. So I gave my mother a single rose from Dad this morning because he would have done that. He sure as hell would never have given her a red G-string.
Thank you, as always, for subscribing to our podcast. Stay tuned for the video and podcast of all 11 stories coming soon. And Happy New Year from all of us at the Wheeler Centre. See you soon.